Friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles. Hopefully you have those with you. If not, there's a pew Bible in front of you. And today we want to look at a story, as I just said, from Mark's Gospel, where Jesus is leaving the town of Jericho, and he encounters a man who is blind named Bartimaeus. I'll give you just a moment to turn there with me. Or to scroll there, or to log in there, whatever it is. We find these words in Mark 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho, and as his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, and he said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart. Get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight, and he followed him on the way. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the children of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, and our minds. Speak a word to us today that will help us this week. Help us to stand in front of Jesus and to think about his question, "What do you want me to do for you?" I pray, Lord, that you bless this preacher in this time. May these words be your words. And if I'm in your way, Lord, move me to the side. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, Max Licato tells a story in his book, God Came Near, about a man named Bob Edens. Like the man in our scripture lesson for this morning, Bob was blind. In fact, Bob was born blind. For 51 years, he could not see. He felt his way through the darkness. His world was black. But then he could see. His particular ailment, technology caught up with it, modern medicine caught up with it, and a skilled surgeon performed a delicate surgery. And for the first time in 51 years, Bob Edens could see. Isn't that a remarkable story? Here's what Bob said. "I never dreamed that yellow was so well yellow." He says, "But of all the colors, red is my favorite. I can't believe red. It's great." He said this, "I can see the shape of the moon and a jet streaming across the sky." Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? With the vapor trail behind it. He says, "Of course I love sunrises and sunsets. I've only heard about them. I love seeing millions and millions of stars in the sky." But of all the things that Bob said after he regained his sight, I like this line the best. He said, "You can never imagine how wonderful everything is." You can never imagine how wonderful everything is. And you know, Bob is right. For those of us who have been able to see all our lives, Bob is right. Would you all mind a preacher coming out in me today? Would that be all right? Well, then let me say this. Susie and I have been married for 31 years, and I knew her 5 years before I before we got married. So that's 36 years. That's a lot of years, wonderful years. It would have been easy to spend a lifetime next to someone like Susie and not look deeply into her eyes, right? I see her. I see you, baby. I see you. I see you. Our Bibles give us stories of those who were around Jesus and yet somehow couldn't see him in one way or another. John tells us two resurrection stories. On Easter morning, you remember the story. Mary makes her way to the garden to give a proper burial for Jesus. And Jesus' body is not there. The stone has been rolled away. And Mary is upset about that. So she turns to who she thinks is the gardener. Y'all know this story, right? It's not the gardener. It's Jesus. He calls her by name. And she runs and tells others. She says, I have seen the Lord, right? Thomas, one of the disciples, was not there on Easter evening when Jesus came through the door and appeared to his disciples, all but, of course, Judas. And when he learns about it, Thomas says, you know, he was from Missouri, the Show Me State, right? And he said, unless I see, I won't believe. And so the next Sunday, Jesus appears to him, just for him, and he says, my Lord and my God. Two followers of Jesus walking with their heads down toward a village called Emmaus were disappointed. A stranger walks with them. He opens up the scriptures to them. They think, isn't that nice? And they get to a town called Emmaus, and the stranger, who we know as Jesus, was going to walk a little further down the road, but they insisted that he stay and have supper with them, and so he did. And he breaks bread, and suddenly they see him. And they say, were not our hearts burning while he opened up the scriptures to us? But perhaps Peter says it best when he says, we were eyewitnesses to his glory. Amen? Today we start a new sermon series. It's called Gospeled Lives. Gospel, Gospeled Lives. The idea, it comes from a book that I've been reading. I read several years ago and picked back up for this sermon series, Gospel Lives. It's an Upper Room book. Each week there's a theme, and there are five scripture lessons that I could choose from. And so what I did was reread that book, and each week I'm going to bring you one of the scriptures from the theme. This week's theme is simply this, called. And of all the stories of the five that spoke the loudest, this one spoke to me. Maybe it'll speak to you too. Remember it with me. Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd that had followed him since that first moment were leaving Jericho. Jericho is only about 15 miles from Jerusalem. At Jericho's city gate, as they were leaving town, Mark tells us that there was a man there named Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. Mark tells us that the man was blind and that he would have been there at the city gate to beg, because in that day, if you were blind, that's what you did. That's how you made it. Mark also gives us this detail, which seems pretty small at first, but at the end of the sermon, I'm going to come back to it. He says that he was sitting by the roadside. But one version of the Bible says that roadside and way are the same word. He was sitting by the way. Just put a bookmark there. We'll come back to that idea at the end of the sermon. Those in Jericho must have known this guy. They must have known Bartimaeus' name, and they must have known that his father was Timaeus. Otherwise, Mark might say, Jesus encountered a blind man at the city gate. But when he hears that Jesus is coming that way, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When they try to shush him, have y'all ever been shushed? When they tried to shush him, he cried out louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stops. This is important. He stood still, an act that would have helped the blind man, Bartimaeus, find him. Mark gives us this line, and remember the theme of the week. He said, "Call him here." I want you to notice what happens next. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak on the ground. Are y'all with me? Do you remember on Christmas Eve when we had that story? On Christmas Eve when I told you the story of Charlie Brown's Christmas? You remember that? Where Linus, when he's asked, "What is Christmas all about?" Linus goes to the microphone. You've seen that a million times, right? He throws down his blanket for a moment. This is a Linus kind of moment for Bartimaeus. He throws down that cloak. It would have been his shelter. It would have been his collection plate. They would have thrown money on it. He would have collected that all in. It was his identity. And he throws it all off, I believe, because he knows something big is about to happen for him. When Bartimaeus is in front of Jesus, Jesus asks him this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's a big question. Now, next week, we're going to backtrack one story in the gospel. James and John, who are inner circle disciples, right? Leaders, disciples. They walk ahead and they say to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." You ever tried that with your parents? Doesn't work. And Jesus asks the same question. The spirit is different, but it's the same question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Here, what's different is, it's not an inner circle disciple. It's a blind beggar. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Look, here he asked for mercy. "Mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy and alms would have been the same thing. The word is the same. Is he asking Jesus, "Throw me a few coins so they all have enough to eat tonight"? I don't think so. Jesus stops. He calls him over. He throws off his cloak. He stands in front of Jesus, and he hears this question from Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" If you were Bartimaeus, wouldn't you say, "Isn't it obvious? Don't you know all these things, Jesus?" May I stop here and ask you, if you were standing in front of Jesus and Jesus were to ask you that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you answer it? In essence, in a way, we do this when we pray. You know, we just finished up this sermon series called the Before Amen. You still have your little pocket prayers? "I need help." That's one of the prayers here. Last week we said, "They need help." What I want you to see for just a moment is focus on you. Here is Jesus right in front of you. And he's not a genie in a bottle kind of God, right? We know that. But if Jesus were to ask you, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you answer it? Now, I've had more time to think about this than you. I want you to go home thinking about this, actually. What are some answers you might give? Well, someone might say, "I want peace." Or someone might say, "I just want to be happy." Someone might answer, I want life to be easier. Or I want, Jesus, take care of that temper of mine. Or I want success. Or I want answers. Or I want good health. Or I want help with anxiety. Or I want bitterness to go away. It's your homework. Jesus is standing in front of you, and he asks you, Charlene, what is it that I can do for you? How do you answer it? Bartimaeus says, I want to see again. Maybe that means that he had his vision before. I don't know. But to his credit, he doesn't say, Jesus, if you just fill this cloak up with money, coins, I wouldn't have to beg for anything ever again. But that's not his greatest need, friends. He says, I want to see again. And two things change immediately in Bartimaeus' life. First, he gets his sight. He's like Bob Edens. He sees yellow, and he sees red, and he sees stars, and he sees sunrises and sunsets. And the second thing that immediately happens is he follows Jesus. He doesn't go home. He doesn't go home and see his dad or his mom. No, he starts following Jesus. Are y'all with me? Earlier in the sermon, I talked about the roadside and the way, right? One of the early metaphors for the way of describing discipleship or the way of being a Christian was simply the way. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. And immediately, when Bartimaeus gets his sight, he starts following Jesus. He's a disciple. Now, what I want to encourage you to do this Lenten season is follow Jesus. Are y'all with me? Follow Jesus on the way, his way, his truth, because it leads to life. Boy, aren't we lucky that we stand on the other side of the cross. We know, as Paul Harvey might say, the rest of the story, right? I'll explain that to the teenagers later. His way leads to life, not to death, but to life. Life has the last word.